This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition,
Jesus has authority over all of those whom he's purchased with his own blood. The Bible tells us we are not our own, right? As Americans, we like to think that, you know, we're free and I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And we are free. What freedom really means in terms of Christ is being not a slave to our sin anymore and our selfishness and our own self, but now being free to be a bondservant of Christ. That is true freedom.
The word authority tends to bring a mixed bag of emotions for different people. What comes to your mind when you think of authority? Do you ever wonder what gives people the right to be an authority? Whether that word brings good or bad feelings? God's word says that those who have been redeemed by Jesus are subject to his authority. While that may not be easy to accept, Pastor Dave will teach you today that Jesus is actually worthy of his authority and that submission to him actually means true freedom. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he begins his message, Astonishing Authority.
During his earthly ministry, Jesus frequently astonished people with his teaching. We see this several places in Scripture. And in Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus goes into the synagogue in Capernaum, and he teaches in that synagogue, and it says they were astonished at his teaching. A few chapters later, Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes back to his hometown. He goes back to the town of Nazareth, and it says in verse 2, on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? When people were hearing what Jesus had to say, they were astonished. So if you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Again, this comes at the close of Jesus' long sermon that went from Matthew 5, 1 all the way through here to the end of chapter 7. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Lord, as we consider this text, as we consider the authority that belongs to Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would speak directly to our hearts, that you would move within us, that it would drive us not just to understanding, but to obedience. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can see that, though I'm sure there were a lot of different revelations and a lot of different reactions to the things that Jesus said throughout the sermon, there were a lot of different things, I'm sure, thoughts that were spurred on as Jesus preached. But the overall impression that we see here at the end of this message, the overall reaction from this crowd to Jesus' teaching was a reaction of astonishment because Jesus spoke as one who had authority. And they made a point to mention that this was not a common thing. They made a point to mention that this was in significant contrast with the teaching of the scribes, the normal teachers in the synagogues. These scribes simply provided interpretations of the law. They gave their views on what it was teaching, while Jesus spoke as one who had the right to make the law. For example, Jesus said multiple times in this sermon things like, "You have heard, but I say to you." He told people how to give. He told them how to pray. He told them how to invest, again, setting up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. He told them how to trust, as he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other needs that you have, the things that God already knows that you need will be added unto you. He said these things with remarkable authority, and people wondered how in the world he could speak in this way. In fact, in Nazareth, when he spoke and taught in the synagogues and they were astonished, as it said in Mark chapter 6, they also questioned if Jesus had the right to teach as he did. They said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And it said that they took offense at him. The way that he spoke, this authority with which he spoke, caused them to be offended because they considered him one of their own. He's just one of us. He's just a regular guy. He's a carpenter. We know his brothers. We know his sister. We know his mother. So they took offense at his teaching with authority. But did he truly have the right to teach with authority? Should we who read what he taught respond and obey what he said? Now, certainly as Christians, we know the answer is supposed to be yes, right? Of course, we are supposed to hear the words of Jesus and understand the authority that he has and obey him. But there are many in our world today that do not heed, they don't care, and they don't listen or obey the words of Christ. Now, of course, we expect that from the world. We expect that from the people outside of the church. We expect that they want nothing to do with any type of morality imposed upon them. They don't want to follow after Jesus. We get that. But sadly, even many who profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior often fail to obey him. This is what the last two illustrations that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount that we looked at are all about. Jesus talked about those who say, "Lord, Lord," they're proclaiming him to be their Lord, but they didn't do his will. And he told us in that passage that those people were destined to be ultimately cast out of his presence. And then he talked about those who hear his words and don't do them. He talked about those people as if they're building on a foundation of sand. And that's going to lead ultimately to a great fall, to their destruction. The authority of Jesus needs to be recognized, yes, acknowledged, recognized, but then also followed, obeyed. And especially from those who claim already to be his followers, to be his disciples. We're going to look at this authority that Jesus has. And we're going to begin with looking at the right of Jesus' authority. Does he have the right to have this kind of authority? And we know, of course, Jesus has an inherent right to have authority because simply of who he is. Just because he is who he is, he has that inherent right to teach with authority. The people in Nazareth, as they're looking at him, again, this was his hometown. These people knew him. They knew his family. And they're looking to his earthly pedigree in their conclusion that he does not have the right. I'm offended because who is he? Who does he think he is? He's just a regular guy just like me. This is what their conclusion. They're looking at his earthly pedigree. He's just a carpenter or the son of a carpenter. They consider Jesus isn't a formally trained rabbi. He's just the son of a carpenter. They knew all of his family. They've been around for years. Again, he was just one of them. And of course, they were correct to a point. We know Jesus was made just like us in every respect except without sin. Right, so they were correct to a point. He was one of them. He was a true man, a true human being. Just like the rest of them, but yet not just like the rest of them, because that is not all that he was. Yes, he was and is without sin. But he also, and this is a reasonably important point, is the creator. Okay, he is the creator of all that is. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says this, a very familiar passage, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator of all things, because it becomes clear very quickly as you read through that first chapter of John's gospel that the word that John is talking about is Jesus himself. He's the very creator of everything that we see and even things that we don't see. He's the creator of everything that is. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this: "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." And not only is he the one who created everything, but everything that was created for him. In Colossians 1:16, it says, "By him all things," again referring to Christ, "by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Now, if I purchase a bunch of materials, and assuming I already own the land or that I purchase the land, and I build myself a house, it is understood, it is accepted that I have authority over that house. If I decide that I'm an artist and I take up painting and I grab a canvas and I take a paintbrush and all the paints and I paint myself a picture, that picture is mine to do with as I please. As parents, of course, we know that God is the one who knits our children together in their mother's womb, but we also know that secondarily, we are in some way creators of our children. We contribute the DNA that turns into our kids. So our culture recognizes some degree of authority that we have over our offspring, although in our culture today, that understanding is eroding very, very quickly. But we still have a semblance of the fact that we have an authority over our children. So as the creator, Jesus has the authority over all of his creation. He has the authority to expect and even demand whatever it is that he desires from his creation. Jesus also has the right to authority because he is the heir of the Father. Psalm 2, the author of the psalmist prophesies of the king that God was going to send, the one he refers to as his begotten son. And verse 8 in Psalm 2 says this: "I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession." This is what God the Father is going to give to this king, this begotten son. So as the only begotten son of the Father, Jesus is heir of all things. Look back at Hebrews 1:2 again. It says, "In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things." So not only does he have that right of authority because he actually created it, he also has that right of authority that he was given it, in a sense, as well from the Father. He is the heir of all things. So as the heir, again, Jesus has authority over all that the Father has given to him. We see that kind of imagery of the Father giving to the Son in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 39. He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." This is Jesus speaking. "And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." So again, those of us who are followers of Christ, we have been given from the Father to the Son, and that gives him authority. Jesus also has the right to authority because he is the Redeemer. He's redeemed us from our sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this: "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." He ransomed us. He redeemed us. He freed us from the slavery to our sin. And he redeemed us not with money, not with silver or gold, but with the blood of Christ, with his own blood. He redeemed us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul is talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church, and he says to them that they are to care for the church of God, which he, meaning Christ, obtained with his own blood. So Jesus purchased us. He redeemed us back from slavery with his own blood. So as our Redeemer, as the one who has bought us back, Jesus has authority over all of those whom he's purchased with his own blood. The Bible tells us we are not our own, right? As Americans, we like to think that, you know, we're free and I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And we are free. What freedom really means in terms of Christ is being not a slave to our sin anymore and our selfishness and our own self, but now being free to be a bondservant of Christ. That is true freedom. So as Creator, as the heir of the Father, and as our Redeemer, Jesus has both the inherent right as well as the earned right to speak with ultimate authority. Everyone needs to recognize that fact. Because think about all of those who have gladly spoke in recognition of Jesus' authority. There are many who will speak up on the recognition of Jesus' authority. Because when Jesus came into the world, he was worshiped by angels. Think about that. He was worshiped by angels. Hebrews 1:6 says this, "And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" And now think about the description of angels we have in the scripture, right? We see these pictures. We see these angels appearing. First of all, we see some images of certain angelic beings that are just hard for us to grasp with different kind of visions that we've had of the six wings and the, you know, the different things. But think of these angels that have appeared to people. They have appeared and have been so glorious and powerful that the people who have seen them have fallen on their face and wanted to worship the angel. To which the angel said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm just a fellow servant, right? Don't worship me. Get up. You know, you don't worship me. You worship him." So imagine this being, this God, this creator, now encased in human flesh, and the angels, these incredible beings of power, bow before him and worship him. That's authority. That is authority. These beings of incredible power, incredible majesty, they bow before Christ. And Jesus himself said that he could call 10,000 legions of angels when he was going to be arrested and his, you know, Peter chops off Malchus's ear and they're looking to defend him, or Peter is, they're looking to defend him. And he's like, "Whoa, don't you realize that if I desired, I could call 10,000, not 10,000 angels, 10,000 legions of angels to defend me. I don't need your little sword." That's authority. That's authority. And when we consider that, all he went through and all he had to do was say the word and 10,000 legions of angels would come down and wipe out all of his enemies, but yet he stayed on the cross. He subjected himself. He laid down his life willingly for us. But he had the authority. He didn't have to do that. It was his choice, willingly, because of his love. In Revelation 5, John pictures Christ seated on the throne of God in heaven, and the angels are surrounding the throne, and they're lifting up their voices in worship. And it says, "Then I looked," this is John, "then I looked and I heard around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. They're praising him, worshiping him, saying, you are worthy of everything. You have all power. You have all authority. You are to be praised above all. They consider Jesus worthy of everything they could. I mean, any worship we could possibly give, it's not even enough. He deserves more and more and more. And so with this power and glory and honor and all that they're saying he deserves, certainly that implies authority. He has all authority. He is the king. He's the one to be praised. But it's not only the angels that recognize the authority of Jesus. The demons recognize him also. They recognize his authority also. In Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, we see that the demons acknowledge Jesus' authority over them. It says, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. They knew he had authority over them. The demons also obeyed his rebuke of them. Our culture so often tends to paint this battle between God and Satan as if it's a battle between two equal but opposite forces. There's the good and the bad, like the light and dark side of the force, right? There's two sides, and we don't know which one's going to win. Well, that is absolutely not what Scripture tells us. That is not what Scripture tells us. Jesus had power and does have power over Satan and his demons. They can do nothing without his allowing it. You can certainly see God has Satan on a leash in Job, right? Satan has to ask permission to do the things that he does to Job, that he only can go as far as God allows. And the demons here in Mark chapter 1, 25 and 26, Jesus rebuked this demon saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And again, demons have tremendous power of their own, but they could not resist the authority of Jesus. In addition to the angels and the demons, we see the redeemed. The redeemed, those that are redeemed and are in the presence of God, also recognize his authority. Revelation chapter 7, we have another picture of heaven and the throne room in heaven. It's another scene that's unfolded for us. And here in John's description, he says this, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. At the beginning of Revelation, in Revelation 1, John praises Christ for having authority over all of the kings of the earth. He writes in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. He goes on, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has redeemed us, and he makes us a kingdom of priests to the Father. And he will have dominion forever and ever. So here, although we are on this side of glory still yet, as those who he has redeemed, as those who have been purchased by his blood, shouldn't we also recognize his authority?
You've been listening to Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook. Thanks for tuning in. As we study the powerful words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Beatitudes, we pray that his words would positively impact the way you live your life day to day. It can be difficult to always be kind and to live according to God's word, but Jesus walks with you. He guides you. He will be the strength you need when those hard-to-be days come. If you're currently wrestling in your walk with Jesus or have a specific prayer request, we'd love to be a light for you. Feel free to reach out by calling us at 631-727-4112, and we'd be more than happy to pray for you. Again, that number is 631-727-4112. If you missed any part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear others from Pastor Dave, just visit cbcriverhead.org and click on the Sermons tab. Road to Calvary is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We're so thankful you've joined us today. If what you heard today was encouraging to you, we'd also like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. For directions and other information about Calvary Baptist Church, just visit our website. Again, that website was cbcriverhead.org. Come just as you are. We'd love to see you there. Well, our time with you is coming to an end, but we hope you'll join us again next time as we continue in this series with Pastor Dave, right here on Road to Calvary.